Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Welcome to our Week 9 Recap and MVP show, where I break down every single game in Week 9, tell you who the game's MVP was, and really detailed what happened in that game. So with that being said, some exciting things to announce. Number one, I am now a married man. So for 8 days now, I have now had the privilege to be a husband. And just very excited about that. So you may have noticed I didn't make shows last weekend, and I did not make my preview show for this week. But coming next week, I'll be back on a full-time schedule. Just exciting to have that happen. But exciting for you guys, I will be back with you full-time. And as I mentioned on my last show, SteveTheScout.com is now becoming a completely different website. We are changing it to a 100% news-based website called PigskinNuts.com, and the tagline is "For those who are crazy about football." As I mentioned on last week's show, I am looking for a few people to help cover every single NFL team and bring news. This is a volunteer opportunity, but it does have some perks to it. No, you're not getting paid. But, you know, if you are excited about being in business with someone that has an entrepreneurial mindset like myself, that really has a vision for where I can take this, then, you know, come along for this ride with me. I'll be excited to have you. All I ask is that if you do want to be considered, send me an email to stevethescout81@gmail.com. You know, write me a paragraph or two about your team or favorite player or something you saw, you know, in one of this weekend's games. Send it my way. That way I can get an idea of how you're right. And we do expect that right now in about 2 to 4 weeks is going to be the launch time for when everyone's actually coming together and writing articles. And we'll have some good project management software to keep things organized. So I'm excited about that. And Pigskin Nut, I want to be really the focal point of this brand. It's going to be an all-encompassing news website, and you guys can help me be a part of that by also, you know, exercising one of your passions, which I'm sure is talking about your favorite NFL team. If you do good work, I'm glad to give letters of recommendation, and my hope is that this does create future opportunities for you. So again, send it to stevethescout81@gmail.com. I'm looking for about 100 writers in total. Right now, I have 50 or a little bit more than 50 actually that have inquired so far. So with that being said, definitely send it my way. And if I have not responded to you yet, just understand there have been a lot of inquiries and I will get back to you ASAP. Should get back to everyone by, you know, Monday or Tuesday of this next week. But I know a lot of you left messages today. So with that being said, let's go over, you know, what I saw in this week's game. So starting out with the Thursday night football game that we had between the Oakland Raiders and the 49ers, Battle of the Bay Area. Oakland was visiting San Francisco. And here's what I'll say. The 49ers, as bad as their record is, they have one hell of a play caller and head coach, Kyle Shanahan. Regardless of their record, he takes that offense very far with the talent that it has. So, you know, the Raiders, you know, they were undisciplined. They were undisciplined on defense, no doubt about that. And they really are in major need of edge rushers. I like some of the young players that they have, but they are still a team that needs a lot of work. Hopefully, with the five draft picks they have over the next few, five first-round draft picks they have over the next few years, they'll be able to get that right. But really, the story of that game was San Francisco 49ers third-string quarterback, Nick Mullins. He was undrafted quarterback, and a little bit of background about Nick Mullins. He was an undrafted quarterback. So he played for Southern Miss, Golden Eagles, and he actually is their all-time. He is their most prolific passer of all time. Their second most prolific passer of all time is Brett Favre, but he dwarfed his numbers. So, interestingly, he was actually a better college quarterback there than Brett Favre, statistically speaking. But when you look at what Mullins did in that game, he did a lot of things that you gotta like. I believe that Shanahan, his play calling, put him in position to succeed. But he played with a high football IQ. If you look at everything he did, he got the ball out of his hand quickly. He went through his reads. He stepped into his throws, and he had really, really good footwork. He didn't miss guys light up. He didn't miss wide open receivers like we see plenty of starters do nowadays. And he looked like a veteran quarterback in there with a high football IQ. If you saw throughout the game, he was consistently freezing receivers, confusing them on where he was going to go with the football, and really allowed himself to be as successful as possible. When you look at that particular characteristic of being able to manipulate your defenders, that is probably the skill that was most noticeable to me that he demonstrated in that game. If you look at the greats like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they all do that well. They all keep their eyes downfield. He did that as well. And really, Nick Mullins is the MVP of this game. 49ers tight end George Kittle has been maybe the best tight end in football this year. He made one hell of a one-handed grab over the middle, broke it off for a big play. But third-string quarterback Nick Mullins, he played very good. He's my game MVP. And again, head coach Kyle Shanahan, regardless of their records, this is one of the best offensive minds in football. He's had that offense working well with three different quarterbacks this year. Despite their record, he really does deserve a lot of credit. And, you know, once the 49ers are healthy and have some more pieces there, I do think they can eventually be a good team. They're not that far away, but they definitely still need some help. But my game MVP, no doubt, is quarterback Nick Mullins, undrafted, coming in big for the 49ers on Thursday Night Football. Next up, we had the Jets taking on the Dolphins in Miami, and this field was in terrible condition before this game. Saturday, they had a college football game between Duke and Miami. The field was one of the wettest football fields I've ever watched a game being played on. I only watched a few snaps from that game, but really, it looked absolutely terrible from what I saw from those few snaps and what I saw in some pictures. But you know, they did play today, and looking at that game, it was all about the defense. Yes, I understand both quarterbacks didn't play well. Both quarterbacks didn't help their team. But don't let that make you overlook the fact that the Miami Dolphins and the Jets both had several players that were good on defense. For the Jets, Leonard Williams was wreaking havoc. He was creating a ton of pressure. He was probably the one guy above anyone else in their defensive line that stuck out to me. I thought their best overall player was Jamal Adams. He was all over the field. He was playing deep, and he was very effective as an in-the-box safety. And just, you know, he is the prototypical NFL safety that you want. He has size, speed, coverage ability, and he's definitely a menace in the box. When you look at the Miami Dolphins, they got great play from their safeties. Rashad Jones, Micah Fitzpatrick, you know, was playing more. But really, you know, the two players on the Dolphins' defensive line that stood out to me the most were Cameron Wake, which he usually does, but really, more so than anyone, Akeem Spence. He generated two sacks, but outside of that, he was just getting consistent pressure throughout the entire day. And when you look at that game, it really was a defensive game. And I don't think, in my opinion, just from watching the tape, no one caused as much havoc as Akeem Spence did. That's why he is my MVP for the Jets taking on the Dolphins in Miami. And just giving you the scores, the Jets lost that game 13, Miami won that game over the Jets 13-6, and the San Francisco 49ers won over Oakland 35-3. Next up, we had the Detroit Lions visiting the Minnesota Vikings. And I'll tell you, my observation is that The Minnesota Vikings, now that they have Everson Griffen back in their defensive line, that makes their defensive line so much more effective. How Minnesota really won this game is they won this game in the trenches. Their defensive line looked really good. Coming into this season, the Vikings were expected to have maybe the best defense in the NFL, and they really have been a letdown for a lot of the year. But don't let that fool you. They have a lot of good players on that defensive line. I thought the MVP of today's game was Danielle Hunter. When you look at him and his speed off the edge, his dominance against the run game caused a key turnover. He had big stops on third down. I thought he was the best player on that defensive line today. But Everson Griffen coming back, he looked really good as well. Everson Griffen for most of the day went against Detroit Lions tackle Taylor Decker, who I thought played well against Griffen. But when you look at Griffen, he just is a great guy. He's great in terms of being able to convert speed to power. One of the best at doing that at the defensive end position. Both guys, Hunter and Griffen, both defensive ends. I mean, their motor was good even in the fourth quarter. When you want to look at the Vikings' interior part of their defensive line, they were collapsed in the pocket. Linval Joseph, Sheldon Richardson, Tom Johnson, and the Vikings had, I believe, over 10 sacks today. It was the most sacks they've had in Vikings history. I forget the actual amount, but their defense was dominant today. Really good things to see from them. They played against the Lions offensive line the Lions offensive line didn't play great, but Taylor Decker, I thought, played well. Frank Ragnow, their rookie center guard, I think he's been one of the best in the NFL this year, even in his rookie year. So they went against a good line. So that's a really good sign for Minnesota to see that their defense can get back to getting this kind of penetration against the quarterback and against another team. So my MVP, though, was the best defensive player on that field. It was Danielle Hunter. Vikings win 24-9 over the Lions. Next up, we had the Falcons at the Redskins. The Redskins, their biggest issue by far above anything else has been their offensive line injuries. Brandon Scherff, maybe the best guard in the NFL this year, hurt. Trent Williams, one of the best left tackles in the NFL, hurt. I think I saw Morgan Moses go down as well. The Vikings took advantage of that. The Falcons took advantage of that. The Falcons on defense, they have not been that good this year, but they were able to generate pressure today. They did it a couple weeks ago against the Giants, who haven't had a good offensive line. The Redskins offensive line has usually been pretty good. They had a hard time today, and the Falcons capitalized. And for a defense that hasn't played well this year, you like to see that. Now, when you look at the Falcons' offensive line, they played great as a unit today. They played nasty on one of the biggest plays of the game. You saw a couple of their guards and one of their tackles go 15 to 20 yards downfield to finish blocks as a unit, which helped Tevin Coleman break off a very big play. But Tevin Coleman, he's my MVP, the Falcons running back. The reason why is Tevin Coleman did extensive damage on screen plays. Also, his ability to accelerate out of the backfield quickly and outside runs was a lot of fun for me to watch today. The Falcons' passing offense was potent as usual. It has been all year. But having Tevin Coleman do all that damage in both the run and the pass game, despite having good blocking, that really opened everything up to make that offense work as well as it could today. Outside of that, Falcons running back Ito Smith was also very physical. Both Ito Smith and Tevin Coleman averaged over 6 yards a carry on the ground. A lot of that credit has to go to the offensive line, no doubt. That offensive line by the Falcons played nasty today. You can hope that maybe they can start to get somewhat of a pass rush going. And if they can do that, the Falcons, like I said on the other day's show, they really can be a team that can turn it around in the second half because they have that good of an offense. The Falcons beat the Redskins 38-13. You got to hope the Redskins can get their offensive line healthy. And again, MVP for this game is running back for the Atlanta Falcons, Tevin Coleman. Up next, we have one of the most bitter rivalries in the NFL. The Ravens and the Steelers. You could say arguably over the last 10, 15 years, that has been the biggest rivalry in the NFL when you're looking at two teams in the same division. MVP for this game is running back James Conner of the Steelers. 24 carries, 107 yards. He also had 56 yards receiving on 7 receptions. But I do have to make a co-MVP for this game, and some of you may have not heard him, number 71 for the Steelers, offensive tackle, Matt Filer, and I'm not sure if I'm saying his last name correctly. I watched that game today, and literally, he was dominant the entire game playing at tackle. He went against mainly Za'Darius Smith, number 90, and a guy you may have heard of, Terrell Suggs, a future Hall of Famer, number 55, and he helped secure a clean pocket for Big Ben all day, as well as running lanes for James Conner. This is a guy that most people probably haven't heard of. I'm not even really that familiar with him, but he really just jumped out to me and played an outstanding game going against two very talented pass rushers in Smith and Terrell Suggs. So they are my co-MVPs for this game. But one thing that really surprised me is the Ravens have been known for generating a pass rush this year. They've had one of the top three best defenses in the NFL. They had 11 sacks in the game just a couple weeks ago, but the Steelers really got more pressure today. And when you look at both quarterbacks, Joe Flacco and Ben Roethlisberger had the cleaner pocket, and the Steelers, won that game largely because of that. My MVPs again, co-MVPs, James Conner, the running back, and surprise at offensive tackle, Matt Filer, number 71 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are my MVPs of that one. Next up, we had the Chicago Bears traveling to Buffalo, New York to take on the Bills. This game was a blowout. The Bears won. The Bears won 41-9, and if I didn't mention it before, the Steelers did beat the Ravens 23-16. But looking at this one, this game in Buffalo, what was really the story for this game for me, because a lot of times in football, what makes such a huge difference in the game is the team that can jump out to an early lead. And Chicago did that largely because of the play of their secondary. There were key plays by Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson, and Kyle Fuller all three of those players made plays helped the Bears capitalize and make turnovers. Two of them were taken back to the house, but two of those key turnovers were created by Kyle Fuller. Kyle Fuller, the Bears cornerback, was locked down the entire day, and he really didn't get enough credit for some of those turnovers because he wasn't the one that came up with the interception. But ultimately, Kyle Fuller is definitely my game MVP. He literally added another 14 points with clutch plays that he made. But the entire Chicago secondary, Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, all these guys created plays. Leonard Floyd, number 94. They didn't have Khalil Mack today, but Leonard Floyd, although he didn't have any sacks, he didn't have more than a couple tackles. He generated consistent pressure. He came up with a big pick six. And outside of Leonard Floyd, the interior part of the Bears defensive line generated pressure as well. So you got to like to see that, especially in Khalil Mack's absence. Chicago, there's a lot of stuff to be excited about. Jordan Howard has some of the best vision of any running back in the game. They have Tariq Cohen, who's one of the most exciting players in the NFL, a change of pace back, who I call the human joystick. And if you go back today and look at some Bears versus Bills highlights, he made a play reminiscent of something that you'd really see in Tecmo Super Bowl, where he literally was on one side of the field, ran around everyone, and made a huge play that set up the Bears for another score. So the Bears have playmakers at running back. Mitch Trubisky's coming along. They have a good offensive line and a good defense, even not having Khalil Mack there. I think the Bears are going to have a big second half, but ultimately Kyle Fuller is my MVP because he caused two turnovers and was a lockdown corner all day. Bears win this one 41-9. Next up, we had an NFC South matchup between two teams who have really had a reversal of fortune this year. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers started out hot, and they've been losing games. The Carolina Panthers started out cold. They've been winning games. And I'll tell you, I think the biggest thing that has helped Carolina this year is having North Turner as their offensive coordinator. He has been a godsend for this team. If you look at the creativity of their offense this year as opposed to previous years, it's really a lot better. Despite Cam Newton being a past MVP, this might be his best year so far. Statistically, he's never had more than a 62% completion percentage, while this year he's averaging 67 under Norv Turner. He typically does about 58 to 62, and if you just look at the play calling, again, it's a lot more creative. Norv Turner has allowed them not to just make better use out of Cam Newton, but also Christian McCaffrey. I don't feel that he was correctly used or as efficiently as used as he could have been until this year. And the Panthers, you know, combining with Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, that was the difference in today's game. Those were the two best players on the field on either side of the football. And again, the play design really helps with that. When you look at McCaffrey, he had over 150 yards from scrimmage, a combination of rushing and receiving as usual. And McCaffrey, he's among the best receiving backs in the game. You look at the best route runners at running back. I got to go with guys like Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, but maybe the smoothest route runner of anyone is Christian McCaffrey. He's a big reason why they won. So is Cam Newton. But McCaffrey's my MVP. The Panthers beat the Buccaneers 42-28. Next up, we have the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Cleveland to take on the Browns, who are now with a new head coach. Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, has taken over as the head coach. And from everything we hear, it's really been about, and I don't like to speculate about all this rumor stuff. It's not my thing. But supposedly what we've heard is that it was internal discord between Hugh Jackson and offensive coordinator Todd Haley. But ultimately, I got to think that the direction the team wants to go in is going to be making sure that Baker Mayfield has a good offensive coordinator, someone that can really help him develop. He was their number one draft pick, so I think that's the direction they'll go in. But looking at today's game, I thought Baker Mayfield looked really good overall today. He really did. He made a lot of impressive throws. He looked smooth. Yeah, he did throw a critical interception, no doubt about that. But he was able to move that offense, despite the Browns having a really bad offensive line, which failed them again today. Baker Mayfield got hurt. He came back into the game. Statistically speaking, he was very good. Just hard to win with that offensive line. And Kansas City, the Chiefs, they just have too much firepower. The firepower typically comes from Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce. And all those guys contributed today. But I thought specifically Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce contributed the most. I am going to break my rule and really say that all three of these guys are the MVP because I really believe they needed all three of these guys to win. And I'll tell you why. Patrick Mahomes, that offense does not score 40 points without Patrick Mahomes being the quarterback. Bear in mind, they won this game by just two scores. So it was by no definition a blowout. But that offense, they're not scoring 40 points without Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. And without Travis Kelce being the surefire red zone target that he is, they would have scored 14 points less. Without Kareem Hunt breaking off that big screenplay for a 50-yard gain, they would not have scored a touchdown there. And again, it was all Kareem Hunt on that play when you go back and look at it. So they really needed all three of these guys to win today. All three of those guys collectively were the difference today. The Chiefs win this one 37-21. My MVPs are Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt. Next up, we have the Texans taking on the Broncos in Denver. Really, it's a little hard to name a game MVP for this one because the Texans won this game 19-17, but really the Broncos definitely played good enough to win this game. I thought Case Keenum had one of his best games of the year. He helped that offense move the ball. I think people have been giving him a lot of criticism this year, but I still think he's been playing better than what people have given him credit for. Maybe his best game so far this year. Houston Texans and the Broncos, both teams were able to generate a lot in terms of a pass rush. Von Miller was double teamed most of the game, but I thought for Denver, their best pass rusher and the guy that I noticed the most was definitely rookie Bradley Chubb. He was in there in the backfield on a number of plays, had a number of key pressures. He had a sack and he really kind of forced another sack that he didn't get credit for. And just he was the guy that I consistently noticed getting into the backfield most of the day for them. For Houston, they had a number of good players on the defensive side of the ball. J.J. Watt, consistently got pressure today on key third downs. He was really able to make Case Keenum, you know, not be able to go through his progressions and find the receiver. So J.J. Watt, really among anyone on their defensive line, was definitely generating the most pressure. But Houston, they had a lot of good play in their secondary. Eric Reed had a key takeaway that really was the difference in that game. Eric Reed, their rookie safety out of Stanford, who I said would be a major draft steal and has been so far, early in the game, he forced a fumble and then picked it up, which led to a Texans score. That really was the difference of the game, because that led. They won the game by 2 points. They won by seven. He played good outside of that. But I thought their best players were, again, Eric Reed, Kareem Jackson. But I got to give the MVP to J.J. Watt, because he's the one that consistently got pressure throughout the day. He's my MVP of this game. But if Denver won this game, that probably would have gone to Bradley Chubb. Houston wins 19-17 in Denver. Next up, one of the two most anticipated games of the week, because it was a high-profile matchup. You had the 6-1 New Orleans Saints play host to the visiting 8-0 Los Angeles Rams, and the Los Angeles Rams are no longer undefeated. The Saints won this one 45-35. Michael Thomas, the Saints' second-year wide receiver, who I believe has been the best wide receiver in all the NFL this year, was definitely the game's MVP. He set the Saints' all-time single-game receiving record with 12 catches and 211 yards. Drew Brees, hey, he had a hell of a game. Drew Brees had four touchdowns, no interceptions, 346 passing yards, but 211 of those 346 yards went to Michael Thomas. What did Michael Thomas do so well? Number one, he got separation. Number one thing you need to see any wide receiver do. He's very quick off the line, and he is big enough and strong enough to be able to box out other defenders, and he has some of the best catching strength that I've seen among a wide receiver today. That's one of the biggest things that I think people don't get when they talk about play strength. It's not just about being strong at the point of attack, but for a receiver, how strong are your hands when you're making those contested catches? He's one of the best at doing that. He does everything, runs the full route tree, gets elite separation, strong, and he was the main reason they won that game today. The Saints won that game by 10 points, but no doubt the 211 receiving yards that Michael Thomas was able to add. I get it. Drew Brees was outstanding. He also helped put Michael Thomas in good positions to succeed. But still, with stats like that and having the all-time record, Michael Thomas is my game MVP. The Saints win over the Rams 45-35. Next up, we had the 5-2 Chargers visiting Seattle to take on the 4-3 Seahawks. Both teams have quarterbacks that are playing well. Both teams have been able to move the ball on the ground. It was a little bit different in how they did it today. The Chargers went completely through Melvin Gordon. He was outstanding. He was outstanding like usual. One of the best players in the field. Seattle, they've been winning games lately by giving the rock to Chris Carson 20 plus times a game. They couldn't do that today. He was dealing with some injury issues. So it was more, for Seattle, it was more so a running back by committee. It was still effective, but they didn't have one guy that was really able to carry the rock like Melvin Gordon, and really no one as talented as him. Phillip Rivers, despite not having great stats today, he was really good. He had a couple of his touchdown throws were very difficult throws to make. He had more than a couple passes that were dropped that really should have been completions. Despite him not having the best stats, I thought Phillip Rivers still looked very good under center today. But the biggest difference maker today was Keenan Allen. Seattle, their best receiver today was Doug Baldwin. 4 catches, 77 yards. But when you look at Keenan Allen, he had over 100 yards receiving. And on two of the big Chargers touchdown drives, they were set up by him. He made it possible. Melvin Gordon was great, but I give the slight edge to Keenan Allen. He is my MVP of this one. Chargers win this game 25-17. Seahawks almost sent it to overtime, but dropped the ball in the end zone on the last play of the game. And then finishing things off with Sunday Night Football, we had the big battle, Brady versus Rodgers. My analysis on this game is, first of all, just looking at Tom Brady, he was definitely out of sync. He missed on some throws he wouldn't normally miss on. And I think lot of it is you have to give Mike Pettine credit. He got him off his game this week, and he really did a similar thing with Jared Goff last week. So it's difficult to get these guys off track in any way. So the fact that he was able to do that 2 weeks in a row to these quarterbacks with the different coverage schemes he was running was definitely impressive. So you got to give Mike Pettine, you know, the Packers coordinator, some credit. Cordell Patterson, wide receiver for the Patriots, who's a great athlete, but he's really just never developed into the route runner that he's needed to be a prolific receiver. One drive tonight, he was used exclusively as the running back, and the reason they got a touchdown on that drive was because he ate up so many yards, and it was just good play. I get it; they probably weren't totally prepared for him, so you got to take that into consideration. But the blocking was good; it wasn't exactly great. I think Cordell Patterson just did a really good job at the running back position there. So. Yeah, you know, you got to definitely have to give credit to Josh McDaniels in terms of how he used him. You also have to give credit to James White of the New England Patriots, because he went out there, he played with a knee injury, and he played through it. And although he only had, I think, 31 yards rushing on 12 carries, nothing impressive, he was able to keep them off guard. He came up big in the screen game a number of times. And came up with some big plays there that really allowed their offense to stay balanced. I mean, this is, you know, if you can kind of understand the track that I'm going through here, it's really that the Patriots, I don't know if they really had any one player that was the MVP. They really won this game as a team. Again, you know, Brady, you know, he got the offense moving. He was out of sync. It wasn't perfect, but he wasn't bad either. Cordell Patterson helped them big on one drive. You know, on that drive, he was probably the main reason that they got a touchdown, if you just go back and review that. James White played with a knee injury, but still stayed in there, was able to keep the Packers off balance, came up on a number of big plays. And then Julian Edelman, he did everything. He did a good job creating separation tonight, getting into the soft zone of the defense, and also had some good plays from the running back position. And he was key on a big play to James White, using his quarterback skills. So, really a team victory for the Patriots. I would say, you know, if I had to give the MVP to someone, it would really be Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon had a good game. It wasn't quite as impressive as the stats would indicate, because his big touchdown play at the end, a lot of it was due to busted coverage. But the fact that they had a big play receiver who commanded double teams tonight, and really came up big with a number of key plays, regardless if one of them was busted coverage, he still got the production. He's still been a productive player since coming to New England. To me, you know, he's probably the MVP. But again, this is really a tough one to go on. When you look at New England on defense, again, they just won as a team. Good game from Trey Flowers. Adrian Claiborne was key, caused a turnover. But, the biggest play of the game definitely came from Lawrence Guy, who, although his stats have not been great this year, he's been a very solid player for them on defense. And you see this very often with the Patriots, their defensive players. You always hear about the motto, do their job. Their defensive players truly do their job. And the Patriots, what they're so good at is getting the most out of every individual player, finding what their strengths are, and then utilizing them. And I think, you know, Trey Flowers, to me, has been their best player up front this year. Adrian Claiborne, he did a great job tonight. Lawrence Guy really made the play of the game. Aaron Jones is running with the ball, the Packers running back. Lawrence Guy punches it out and did so on a tough angle. So gotta give him a lot of credit there. The Patriots really won this as a team. But I would say my MVP is Josh Gordon, for the reason that he was a big play threat for them when he needed to be. He commanded double teams. Brady, you know, wasn't especially, you know, good when you consider how good Brady's been in the past. And again, so much of that credit definitely has to go to Mike Pettine just analyzing that game. But yeah, Josh Gordon's my MVP. The Patriots won this one. If I had to say one person above anyone else or people, it's really going to be the coaching. Honestly, the Packers just got straight up outcoached the second half. Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, first half could have been smoother. The second half, they totally won that game. So I would really say, you know, probably, you know, the coaching above anything else is what made that game. But really, a true team victory by the Patriots. Got to give credit all around there. And that wraps up everything for Week 9. Join me back on Wednesday when I continue my best players list. And guys, you know, Wednesday is question and answer day. You can join me, stevethescout81@gmail.com. That is my email address. If you have a question about a player, team, college prospect, something you saw on Sunday, send them my way. It typically takes 2 to 4 weeks to get on the show, but we will do our best to get your questions on. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, signing off.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.